The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah. Welcome to a special edition. It is your boy Jay Spence the King, and I am back for the second time, and I have a special guest joining me today, the one and the only Lorenzo Alexander. Kind of sprung this up last minute because I feel like within the Buffalo Bills fan base community, within the Bills Mafia community, there is a ton of overreaction regarding the defense, regarding the last two losses. And I feel that Zoe is a member of the community that, you know, obviously being a newly retired player, I feel like fans still value his opinion and value the things that he says. And, you know, he can give us perspective being, you know, just removed from the game, as well as, you know, how he sees the film and how he sees, you know, all the things that we try to critique, and we say, you know, yeah, the Bills are this, or the run defense is that, you know. So just to get a different perspective from an actual NFL player to come in and be candid with us. So Zoe has been that with me in the past, and he's like that again today. So I do thank Zoe for taking the time out to join me early yesterday, and now this morning you'll hear it. Listen, Zoe's a great guy. Zoe's a great guy. So I'm going to jump right into it. Before I do want to say, because this is out now at 10 a.m., right before the game. So the game starts at 1. I am fully expecting a dominant performance. Last week on the Hump Day Hotline with Joe, I said, listen, I don't care if it's a 45-10 win. I don't care if it's 21-3. And Zoe actually said something very similar, which shocked me. But I want to see a dominant performance. So I just want to see us win on all three phases of the game. Special teams, we should average good starting field position. Defensively, I don't want to see Sam Darnold or Joe Flacco do anything spectacular. You know, if they might have a play here or there, fine. But as far as seeing them actually resemble an actual NFL offense, I don't want to see that, because they don't have weapons. They don't have... And I'm not saying this to diminish or to talk bad about the players on the Jets roster, but when you look at them and you're honest about it, they don't have threats that scare you. Starting the season off, they had Le'Veon Bell, but they didn't have an offensive line to really help him. You know, they didn't protect him properly. They didn't provide holes from the run through, and now he's gone. So another thing that I said is that if Frank Gore averages anything over 3 yards a carry tomorrow or today, if he averages more than 3 yards a carry, I promise you, you will not want to listen to Dakota Conic this week. I will be insufferable if Frank Gore averages more than 3 yards a carry. I'm not going to go on my Frank Gore rant. I love Frank Gore. I love his career. I love who he is as a guy. Last year on the Bills, he just didn't cut it. And at this point of his career, I get that the running joke is that he's like, you know, he's ageless. He doesn't age. Listen. It's time. I know it's close. He might be able to be in the NFL when his son is in the NFL. It's not, I just, sometimes it's time to hang it up. I say the same thing about Shady, and I love Shady. Everybody knows how much I love Shady. He just can't cut on a dime like he used to. And they were joking about it when we had the retirement ceremony during halftime. You know, they were joking about it like, you know, Shady, if you can't cut on a dime, it's a young man's game. You got to get that up. Listen, sometimes it's time to let these young guys come in and do that thing. And New York Jets, they actually have a young guy, Perrine, I believe is his name. I have to look up the correct way to pronounce it. But he's a heck of a back. He's not first round, second round talent, no, but you know, he's serviceable and he can do some things out of that backfield. So I'm looking forward to seeing the game in general. I think it's a game that's needed for Bills fans right now. The energy across Bills Mafia just doesn't seem to be as positive naturally as it was the first 4 weeks when we went 4-0. But there's still a lot of things to be excited about this football team. Josh Allen is still in the conversation for MVP, rightly so. And not just because of the first 4 weeks. One of the things that I saw from Josh Allen in the last two games, regardless of how the rest of the team looked or regardless of how what the score was towards the end of the game, Josh Allen does not quit. And he's a fighter and he's a leader. And he is a great leader. And then you couple that with Stefon Diggs, who, again, wants to win. And he's a leader. These guys were rallying the team together to try and come back and win that game. It was just a little too late. But Josh Allen is a phenomenal leader. He's a phenomenal quarterback. There's a reason why, since he's come into the league, he leads the league or tied for most fourth quarter comeback victories. There's a reason. Josh Allen is special. And while none of us thought that this was going to be the version of Josh Allen we saw this year, it's a lot to be excited about. So, like I said, I had a good time talking with Lorenzo Alexander today. We're going to talk right now. I'll get right into it so you can all hear everything they had to say about relax, calm down. We're in a good spot. We're still one in the division, 4-2, Josh Allen. We got guys that's injured coming back. It's a lot of good stuff in here. So, hope you guys enjoy it before the game. And go Bills.
This is a Jay Spence exclusive.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have, as promised, a special guest joining me this morning, Mr. Lorenzo Alexander, one of my favorite, especially as of late, one of my favorite retired Buffalo Bills members. How's it going this morning, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's out here in Phoenix, enjoying the nice weather here. It's nice out in Buffalo. And other than that, man, just getting ready for these flag football games today.
Yeah, I just got back from Buffalo last week, and when I was out there, it wasn't nice. And now I'm back in Phoenix like you, and it's like, oh, y'all getting 70-degree weather when I'm back in Phoenix, man. What happened?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy how that weather works up that way.
Yeah. So you got some flag football games going on? You're coaching those, or?
Yeah. Coaching, helping my the coaches out with my kids. So both of my sons play. So it's been fun just to get out there, help other kids get better, and just kind of get my feet wet in coaching.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. I gotta, with COVID, you know, this year has just been weird, so I haven't even gotten the chance to have the full Phoenix experience yet, so I'm just looking forward to kind of seeing everything and getting involved with everything. But but listen, man, I got you on because obviously so we play the Jets, and it's a week where a lot of fans feel like this is a good week to play the Jets,
right?
But so before we really talk about the Jets, though, you know, so we talked a little bit over the summer and, you know, you had some good things to say looking forward to this season. And, you know, I think most fans did. Right now we're 4-2. We're one in the division, number one in the division.
Right.
What are your feelings currently right now, aside from everything else that, you know, we're going to touch on? But what are your feelings overall about this year's version of the Buffalo Bills?
I've liked what I've seen for the most part. Obviously, we'll get into it a little bit, but there's been some, I guess, some flaws here and there that have popped up that need to be corrected if you want to be able to win the division. But overall, I really like the talent, like the guys, like the way they've been flying around and hunting up. Even through adversity, you don't see things coming out in the media or, you know, a chaotic sideline. And I think that really speaks to the culture and the foundation that is been implemented and installed over the last three seasons. And so I'm still excited. This team is right where it needs to be. And what people need to understand, every year, every Super Bowl champion goes through some type of adversity. And you can go back through each year, whether it was injuries, whether it was some drama with, you know, a trade or a player, whether it was losing some multiple games in a row. Those teams had to endure that, had to overcome it. And so even with these hiccups of late, doesn't have me worried, not at this point, because I know the men in that room, coaches and players, and they'll get this thing right and going back in the right direction.
Okay, yeah, and well, I've been one, and I don't know if I know sometimes you kind of see what goes on Twitter and what doesn't, but I've been a very big supporter of Leslie Frazier, obviously. Yeah. I think he's a great coach. I think, obviously, you know, he's a defensive coordinator at this moment, but even as a head coach, I think he's just I think he's a great guy.
Right.
As far as some of the hiccups that you kind of just alluded to there, on defense, with you being a leader of the team when you were here, and now obviously I'm sure the team still kind of looks at you as a leader in the locker room, even though you're not physically there. The hiccups that we have on defense, would you consider that to be just, you know, it's early in the season and we just got some things to work out? Is it more of a scheme change due to, you know, because we did move some pieces around. We have, for the most part, the core defense that we've had, but, you know, there are some new pieces and everything. So as far as talent and all that, do you think it's a scheme thing? Is it just, you know, I know that the simple answer is execution, but I mean.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. I mean, obviously not having an off season OTAs, even though you had a core group of young, talented players that were coming back on that team, you do have the insertion of several pieces at every level. You know, you think about A.J. Klein, you think about Mario Addison, Quentin Jefferson, you know, the guys up front. Think about Josh Norman on the back end. There's a lot of pieces. And yes, it may only be, you know, you're talking about four guys or five guys, but I mean, that's half of your defense, depending on who's out there at that time. And so there is a huge difference from year to year in the NFL. People have to understand, because of free agency, that you can't necessarily rely on what you did last year. Yeah, top five, okay, the last couple of years. But yeah, that third season, you can't rely on those last two. And so you have to continually be able to adapt and bring in talent to help keep that standard. And because of OTAs and the way training camp went and the lack of preseason, there's really a lack of time to kind of codify and kind of come together so that you are executing at a certain level. You know, now with that said, everybody's had to deal with it. I think you've seen defenses around the league generally probably not play as well or to the standard that you're traditionally doing early on. You have some outliers, obviously, that or just, you know, the Ravens, the Steelers, they're just perennial great top five defenses that have probably been able to overcome. And even to their standard, maybe a little bit of a dip. So it's part of the game. It's part of this season, and teams are going to have to overcome that. And when I watch the games, it's not stuff that can't be corrected. And because I've been in the locker room, I know it's not necessarily coaching. And so I know as a player, when I played, I needed those reps to be able to have my eyes right, my feet right, and not second guess myself or, you know, think I saw something, but really just going back to my keys and foundation. And reps do matter. And so some things may flare up just because you haven't had the rep set to really solidify your foundation in which you wanted to be as a player and as a defense, you know, in these regards.
Yeah. So, so with that being said about the defense and the, like you said, reps do matter. So normally every year, at least what it looks like to fans or to me, every year, it seems like at the start of the year, the defense is actually by far ahead of the offense. And this year was a little opposite. It looks like, at least around the league, it looks like offenses are clicking. You know, we got guys, I mean, Josh Allen, we can talk about our own guy. He came out and he's looking like, I don't think anybody imagined that he would come out this season looking the way he looked. Does it, I know what you just said and everything, but does it concern not just with the Bills, but around the league? Does it kind of concern you that defense in general seems to be just not there?
No. I mean, again, it goes back to, you know, kind of what I said, not having that rep count. And yeah, you can just fly around and hit people on defense, but defense is more reactive. You got to communicate. If you don't have great communication, if you haven't been out there talking to guys, constantly working on those communication habits, you mess up, it's a big play. On offense, you know, outside of maybe the offensive line, if you run the wrong route as a receiver and maybe you're the fourth option, nobody knows because the ball ain't even coming to you. I'm going over to my number one or number two option. I haven't even gotten through my progression. So it's not as apparent when offenses may be off when you think about it in that regards. Well, if you have a defensive lineman or one linebacker or one corner not operating, nine times out of 10, it's a touchdown. Somebody's looking him up, and it's a big play at least, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think those are the differences in the way just how – both sides of the ball work, where offensively, like I said, unless the old lineman just whiffs a guy, most of the time it's not going to be a catastrophe, where defensively, if somebody's out of position, it will. And then also offensively, you know where you're going. Most of the time, I mean, it's predetermined. Yes, there are some levels of it to where, is it single high? Is it split safety? I may break off my route, but you understand where you're going versus defense. You have a gap, but you still have to react to what you see in front of you. Which is much harder to do when you have linemen pulling. Is it play action? You just have more things to defend versus a receiver or a lineman who know I'm blocking on this play. It's not like I got to see is, you know, dropping or not. Yeah, he may blitz. He may not. I can help out. But it's not like a big difference as far as you being in coverage or coming up to play the run.
Right. And like you said, it's completely reactive. And now with defenses being more exotic now, you have offenses, and I'm sure, I mean, they've always game planned against defenses. But one thing that I'm noticing now when watching like the All-22 this season and then comparing things to kind of last season, I'm seeing how teams are starting to really kind of have a game plan for Tremaine Edmonds. And I know that he's been injured a little bit this year.
Right.
But I'm also noticing they're really figuring out a way to kind of try their hardest to get him out of the play. So whereas I know a lot of people look at it and it's an overreaction, like, oh, this guy is, you know, he's not playing as well this year. He's not that. I tend to think that it's more about just the way offensive coordinators are really game planning against our defensive key players. What's your take on that? Because I know you've defended, which to me you shouldn't have to defend him, but you've defended Tremaine and you've defended other players. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, and if Tremaine is wrong, and he obviously hasn't played to a standard, he's been injured and nicked up, and he'll be the first one to admit if you actually interview and ask him, you know, have you played up to your standard, he'll say no. But at the same time, it's like this overreaction of let's switch him, let's get somebody else in here, let's, you know, do this, doing that, which I get from a fan perspective. It's fandom, you're fanatic, so you're not, you're emotionally so involved that you can't practically think through your argument. So, I mean, I understand it. So, but being out of the game is some things that I can do now. Like I say, hey, we about to blow the Jets out. You know, nobody cares because I'm not in the locker room.
Right.
So,
right.
But I feel that because I do have some knowledge, some insight, that I do need to calm the fan base down or people in general, just give my perspective on what I'm actually seeing. Because when you watch a game, and I've been victim, I think we all been, and you watch a game, or even if you're playing a game, sometimes it feels much different than what actually happened. And until you go back and watch the game again and watch it more, you know, preferably on all 22, where you actually have an end zone cut, a sideline cut, and can actually see what happened. And then on top of that, know the call that was made. So then you understand his responsibilities. And obviously, I have an additional insight of actually knowing what they're being taught. So to one person who comes from a completely different scheme, it may be a negative. But if you come from the Bill system, it may be a positive as far as what you're doing. And so I think people just need to pump their brakes before they're trying to make a positional change on somebody because they haven't necessarily played to that person's or that fan's standard, not knowing the whole intricacies. And then I think people just panic in general. So, hey, calm down. Two games. The dude was a Pro Bowler last year. Mm-hmm. He's banged up a little bit, dealing with some things. He's going to be okay. And that's just for any time you evaluate any type of player. And that's something I've tried to do even throughout my career, as far whether it was me or the defense, when people write or say certain things, I'm like, do you know what we're being taught? And they'd be like, no. Well, I'm like, well, how can you give me a real grade, or how can you provide a real opinion on something when I'm being taught something completely different than what your opinion is based on? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's all about being informed and having real information, and then you can make real arguments that make sense and not just out of nowhere. And so that's kind of why I've done that and defended guys, because people don't generally know what's going on. And then when I'm assessing other teams, I try to do the same thing and hold myself to the same standard. Yeah, I can probably tell if it's cover two, cover three, man to man, and I'll give my opinion based on that. But I'm never going to tear down a guy. Oh, he needs to move positions. Yeah. We don't fully know the whole story.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's at first, as a podcaster, let me tell you, I appreciate the fact that you are vocal about stuff, because it makes it easier for me. Because, like, you know, when people are like, no, you don't know what you're saying, I'm like, look, I trust what Zoe says. So
it makes it easy because
like you said, it's a major overreaction a lot of times where, like you mentioned with Tremaine, like a lot of people feel that he's like over pursuing or whatever. And again, like you said, I don't know what Coach McDermott or Coach Frazier is saying, hey, this is how we're gonna, this is the game plan, or this is what your assignment is.
Right.
So we can't say like, oh, Tremaine is horrible this year. No, he's probably doing what he's supposed to do. Right. And we just, but to, okay, it, so to yeah, that, yeah. Go ahead, my bad.
And then, no, you good. But even to that point, the over pursuing, yeah, we're taught certain angles, but I just wish people could just get out there and just realize, yes, I'm super athletic, but trying to tackle an Alvin Kamara, I'm just going to name, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, all these receivers in space by yourself is not the easiest thing. So, yes, I'm trying to line myself up, and I will guarantee you Tremaine is winning more times than not, but that's why you have a defense and it's not a defender, because if you do miss, you expect somebody else to be coming right behind you and cleaning you up. And even some of the best defenses have missed tackles. They just got guys out there flying around, hawking to the ball, and that's what you need collectively to overcome some of that when it does happen. But over the season, I would say Tremaine probably wins at a lot higher clip than he's missed over pursuing once in a while when a guy decides to put on the brakes and cuts back on it.
Man, that's what I see when I watch it. I definitely see him winning. Like I said, there are the play, and you mentioned it a couple minutes ago, like there are the plays that obviously on defense, if you do miss an assignment, then yeah, it's a big play. So it's a bigger deal because it's normally, you know, a first down, you know, or it's normally a touchdown. So it's just a different reaction. But to your point about the film, I wanted to ask you about last week's game just a little bit, because Patrick Mahomes in the and then from here we can move on, because there's a lot of good. I don't want to sound like I'm negative on my team. I love my squad. So but Pat Mahomes was talking about how they ran the ball well. And he said that there were holes there that, you know, they just chose to run the ball. But if he chose to pull the ball back and throw the ball, the passing lanes were there as well. Did you see that as like when you watched it back, or what was your assessment of the game this past week?
Yeah, I was really more watching it for the pass. I wasn't watching what he was seeing as far as, hey, I probably could hit these guys as well. Let's just run the ball. I don't know if, I mean, yeah, they run the ball at a high clip, but if you could throw the ball, you know, 50 yards down the field and score, why wouldn't you? So, you know, for an offense and a quarterback, if it's there, you would still do both, because at some point you would think the defense would hunker down on the run. Mm-hmm. So just from me kind of thinking through that comment real quickly, I don't know how true that is or not, but that's kind of my opinion on when somebody makes a statement like that quickly after a game.
Yeah.
Why weren't you passing the ball more then? Why didn't you have 500 yards passing if both of them were there? Because you are a prolific quarterback, right? So, but that's neither here nor there. I would have to watch it back to give you a real true assessment. But as far as the run game, when I watched it, that's what I was kind of looking at. And it's just, again, I mean, guys, whether it's a D lineman getting scooped or getting two-headed. And so what that means is if you line up in the A gap and they're running the ball away from you, that means the guard gets across your face and puts you in the B gap, which happens from time to time, but then the linebacker wasn't able to make up for him. So essentially now you have two guys in the B gap. Or you may have a linebacker or a safety think they see something and they don't come and fit their proper gap. They guess instead of just, you know, just running to their gap and playing good technique and making tackles. So, and on those plays, they happened on that fourth and one play where the guy hit his head on the goalpost. That was a touchdown. You know, just people not being in their gaps, and it's it's simple, but sometimes it's easier said than done, especially when you're bleeding, right? You're like, man, I gotta fix this. I gotta fix it. And you try to do too much, and you just cut yourself again because you're trying to do somebody else's job. And that's what happened. And then they got frustrated, and then penalties start to insert. And then with all of that, they still had an opportunity to win the game, but they could never get off the field on third. Some of those third down and criticals. You know, you think about the Patrick Mahomes run there. So it's as bad as it seemed as they played, they still was in a position to possibly win that game. And, you know, and then also, you know, when you're playing those type of teams, every time you have an opportunity to score, you have to score. And so, you know, the missed field goal, I think, played a big part of it as well. Just by having some points on the board gives confidence, obviously going into halftime. So there's a lot of different things just outside of the defense that just wasn't working. Obviously, offense, too, not playing complimentary football. The offense wasn't clicking, so defense was out there even more. So it's just a lot of things. You know, you can't just point to one thing. There's a lot of things that overlap to allow you to win a game or lose a game. But definitely want to see this week just guys just being fundamentally sound, not trying to do too much, just coming down in their gap, fitting their gap up, you know, replacing guys as a linebacker as you should when a guy gets scooped out of his gap as a defensive lineman, and just playing downhill and physical.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them play downhill and physical, you know, against the Jets, because it's a week where the fan base needs a pump. We need some positivity, man. There's so much negativity going on. And it's like, look, you guys are overreacting for real. Like, we're 4-2. And part of the transition I want to make now, what's your thoughts about Josh, man? Like, this dude, they completely, and I've been like, this summer, I'm like, yo, he's going to have a gear. I'm talking to all these other podcasters in different markets. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, man, Josh is the dude. He's my guy. And he's really doing it. So I look like a genius, man. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about Josh this year, man?
Yeah, it's not surprising at all. I mean, obviously, he's done a really great job of continuing to develop, have a great understanding of the offense. Again, people just gravitate to him. So having a guy like Stephon Diggs come in and then immediately have that chemistry was no surprise to me. And, you know, Dable's been doing a good job of play calling and putting guys in a position. And they just have a lot of weapons. And so it's always going to be hard to match up with the guys that they have. And, you know, obviously the biggest difference in jump from year one to year two is the ability to connect on the big play. I think prior to this year, they were like 25%. And then I know at least the first four games, it jumped up to like 70, 75% as far as connecting on throws 20 yards and beyond. And when you're able to do that at a high rep, you're going to score a lot of points just because defenses can't normally overcome big plays. And a lot of those plays have actually turned into touchdowns. You see the emergence of a guy like Gabriel Davis balling out as a young guy. So it's just – they just have so many weapons. It's like, who do we take away? And then, I mean, you stuck with, okay, we're going to double Steph. All right, then you stuck with John Brown. So once he gets healthy, you know, we stuck with John Brown, then Cole Beasley, and then the game comes alive. And I'm waiting for my man Dawson Knox to get healthy because he's another baller that can really help him. And I guess the good part of having some of these injuries early in the season that you can – build some depth, let some guys behind them get some growth, but then they'll come back later in the year and really be able to hit the ground rolling and have a lot of guys they can depend on, you know, when it comes November, December time. But Josh has done a great job of just working on the details, putting the ball where it needs to be. I wish he would get down a little bit more from time to time, which it seemed like he did a couple of games ago. But he's a baller. I mean, he's a playmaker. I think he's done a great job in growing in the – far as when he goes to that point, because we all want to play on the edge of being reckless. And sometimes Josh crosses over, and what Josh has learned to do is to pull himself back in within himself to then finish off games. Because a lot of times when guys get to that point, they get so mentally out of it that they stay there. But I think he's grown from a maturity standpoint to he's able to get himself back into that groove and getting back on himself on the right side of that line. And that's helped him win a couple of games as well. You know, the last couple obviously haven't been great games, but I think some of those balls that our guys – and, yeah, are they right on point? No. And I hate that narrative, right? He's inaccurate. And yeah, he's had some issues. But it's crazy when you listen to the announcers. It's raining. Josh is inaccurate, you know. And then And then Pat Holmes does it. Yeah. Oh, it must be the weather now.
Oh, it's slippery. The ball is super slippery.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. I'm like, what? You just said, but it just goes to show, you know, just where you start and where you have to kind of overcome because of people's perception. That was funny, but he's done a great job of working on that accuracy. The last couple of games, I think because of the losses, it's been more of a focal point. I'm saying he's kind of, you know, tapering off. But those are catches those guys can make, you know. And if you catch some of those balls early, I mean, some of them have just been playing out drops. A couple of them turn into interceptions.
Look at the catch that John Brown, and I get it, he was injured, but the touchdown throw.
It was
perfect. The inaccurate thing, come on, man. Like, you can't make that throw if you're inaccurate.
Right, and it's been several times, I think, over these last couple of weeks where balls that the receivers normally catch, they haven't caught. And because of that lack of consistency creating, you know, just a lack of rhythm, they haven't been able to overcome that quite yet. You know, those first four games, they were out of the gate pretty much and just doing whatever they wanted to do. So hopefully they've learned now, okay, you know, this is going to happen at some point again where we have things don't go exactly right. How do we battle out of that to then overcome, you know, become like a – you know, an Aaron Rodgers type thing where they're trash the first half and they come back, or like a Russell Wilson, bad first half, come back and give you 30 in the second half. Patrick Mahomes, we're down 24 in a playoff game, we come back and beat you. We're down 10 in the Super Bowl, we come back and beat you. They have to get to that point now because this team is in a much different place to where you're just trying to change the culture to actually become competitive. That part has been done. You're at the point where you're trying to make that transition to be a real big-time contender and actually make a run at the Super Bowl. And those are the things that you're going to have to be able to overcome. When things do go bad, how good can we be to get it fixed and overcome it and get back to who we are? Because those are championship-caliber teams. Because as you play these better teams, you're going to have times where you may have two or three drives, offensive, defensively. It just doesn't work. It doesn't look right for you. But how do you get back to who you are and not allow that pressure and the presence of that other team to overwhelm you and consume you, especially on a big stage? And so I think that's where this team is at right now, especially when you think about who they played, the Tennessee Titans, as well as the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are teams you're going to see again in the playoffs. You know, I don't know what round or what it's going to look like, but you're going to have to be able to overcome that presence and the pressure that they're going to apply because they're good teams as well.
And well, admittingly, so my overreaction from the last 2 weeks, there were times during the game where I felt like the team as a whole just didn't look engaged. Like, you know, for me, that was my overreaction. But to what you just said, to your point about Josh, the thing that I'm like, I can't even express myself about it. Josh just doesn't turn it off. Even when it seems like when you look at it as an overreaction, it looks like, oh man, the team just don't look like they really. And then he just has this extra gear that he gets the other guys around him ready. And I just love that. I feel like on offense, you know, obviously we've had guys who have wanted to play and wanted to win. I never question that, but it just feels different with this guy, Josh. So, with Josh and the offense having some success, we also see that the running game is having a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a struggle because from what I see, I don't really feel like the running backs have issues. We recently just released my guy, Quentin Spain.
Right.
So strictly football, you know, obviously I'm not going to ask you anything outside of that, but strictly football, what effect do you think releasing, and I know he hasn't played this year for us, but what effect do you think that has on the locker room, letting go of a veteran player like that? Also a guy who wanted to be here. Like last year when it was time for free agency, it was like, no, I'm here. I want to be here. I don't even want to look at other teams. So what do you think that effect has on the running game and then also just the locker room?
Well, I mean, because he hasn't played, I don't know what effect it's going to have on the running game. You know, I think getting John Feliciano back, And you know, and how they continue that rotation, because they were rotating winners forward, obviously Spain. Are they going to continue to do that to work Feliciano back in? And then once he's playing at a certain level, are they going to continue to rotate? You know, when I was watching the games, I thought Spain was doing a great job. Obviously, I'm not an offensive line coach, so I don't know what else was going on behind, you know, the scene, because when things like this happen, it's, you know, a lot of times, especially with a veteran, it's more about relationships and, and how are you seen most of, you know, since you're getting released, it's more about, you know, your coaches and what that relationship looks like as far as what you're doing day to day and what you feel and what they feel. I know because of the presence that he had, the relationships that he had from a player's perspective, that guys obviously talked about it and like, man, whatever, however they felt about it, expressed that, you know, with themselves within the locker room, as guys always do about whatever's going on. But that's not going to be a big enough distraction to move them away from being able to go out there and compete at a high level. And so hopefully it was done in a way where it was communicated what the issue was, what was going on, and so everybody understands. You may not agree, but at least you understand, and it was up front. And at the end of the day, that's the only, the best way you can do it, so that you don't start having guys questioning your leadership or your intentions as a position coach or a head coach. And so that's why communication is key, and that's why, you know, football is a relationship business, like most businesses. And when you ever feel like things weren't done up to par without clear communication, that can leave room for guys not really buying in completely. And so you need buy-in from everybody at all levels if you ultimately want to get to where you want to go, you know, especially from your premier guys and guys that you count on, because they're going to be able to extend your message into the locker room. And so I say all that to say, I don't know exactly what went on. Hopefully it was done the right way, so that stuff doesn't triculate to other people's mindset and they like, man, I don't know. And then maybe you lose a guy in free agency based on how this situation was handled, because it is a relationship issue. And at the end of the day, guys need to feel like, I can trust you, you know, to be a part of this organization. So, I really don't know, but those are some of the hiccups you can have. But if it's done the right way and it's upfront, guys can at least, you know, kind of move on from it, even though they may not agree with it. At least they told me what the truth was, you know.
Right.
And that's at the end of the day that all guys really want. Just tell me that, give me your honest opinion. Don't facade me like, hey, we're trying to do this and we just want to see. It's not about you. Hey, tell me, you know, let me know. Hey man, you're not working hard enough. Hey man, you're not blocking well enough. Hey man, you're not whatever. Then I can at least attempt to fix that or have a conversation about with you about where I think I'm at, where you think I'm at, and then how do I get to where we're both in agreement? Right. And I think when you're dealing with grown men, you have to approach it like that. You can't treat me like I'm in high school and just do things without explaining it to me, because at the end of the day, this is my livelihood. I'm passionate about it. I want to play. I put in all this hard work, just like you did to become a coach. So let's talk about this. We're both grown, and let's be upfront and let's get in a room and talk about it and talk it out, clear the air, and then you can move. So that's the best way how you operate within the locker room, especially on the professional level, so that you can always have that trust built up, and really on any level at the end of the day. But you can be more, I think, more open when you're talking with grown men.
Yeah. And I love Spain. I'm a vocal supporter of Spain, man. He's a dog. And I tweeted out to him like, yo, thank you for being a dog for my quarterback. Thank you for, you know, like he was really a guy that, you know, I would love to keep in that locker room, but, you know, it is what it is. Good luck to him going forward. Let me ask you this, and then I got one more after this. I got one more for you, and then because I actually got a football game to get to myself. So with the trade deadline approaching and all that stuff, fans, you know, we always were used to Brandon Bean kind of pulling something out when we don't expect it. Right. Do you? If you were in the role of Brandon Bean right now, is there a type of player or is there somebody out there right now that you would say, you know what, this guy would fit. We should try to make a trade for this guy, or there's somebody in free agency that you would be like, he'll make a good fit.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's kind of hard because there's so many guys out there. It seems like they're not maybe happy with, you know, pass rush or whatnot. So maybe like a guy like a Marcus Gold, who ended up in Arizona, may have been somebody you could have brought in. And I'm just spitballing if you're a good player, unless you're on like a bad team like the Giants, they're not going to give away good players. It just doesn't happen. Then you also have to put in consideration, you know, the player that you're getting, how many years are left on their contract? Are they going to be a free agent next year? Is it a big money deal? Because in obviously with the COVID and pandemic, the hit that it's had on the economy, therefore the impact it's had on the salary cap next year. Can you afford to continue to pay this guy's salary as well as draft guys next year, free agency guys, where you want to shore up your team? And so all those things, and then you're going to have to give up a draft pick most likely, or maybe a player, who knows? So is there somebody on the market that's going to make your team that much better or plug a hole that you feel like you need to get to the next level that's out there that you don't already have on your roster that you would have to give this compensation for and also think about future-wise as well? And so that's what GMs, you know, most people think about the here and now, but a GM is thinking from a macro level about future, now, here, what does that cost, risk versus reward. And I don't know if there's a guy out there, you know, in a that has probably a lower end salary that you can put on this roster that's going to be better than the guys that you already have here. Mm-hmm. Their issue is more about getting healthy, getting their guys back, Levi Wallace, Matt Milano, you know, John Brown, getting guys healthy, you know, Zach Moss, John Feliciano. So then you had full, you back to full strength and then hitting them. And I think that's their best bet. That's their essentially traded player, trading them off of the IR back onto this roster. You know what I mean? And so that's where I think this trade is going to be at this year.
And you know what? We were actually blessed as a team last year. We obviously we had an injury here or there, but for the most part, guys were healthy last season. And this year early on, it does seem like the injury bug, you know, kind of moved into One Bills Drive and you know, taking some time to relax. So we hopefully we get these guys back soon, because like you said, Milano, it's a completely different team when he's on the field. It's just different. Right.
And to that point, I think it that even speaks more too, because they didn't have an offseason. They weren't at One Bills Live or Drive. It speaks to the people from Eric Ciano's team, you know, Jason Osvart, Hal, Will, to all the Joes that are in the sports science, to Joe Mika that's in the athletic training room, Nate, that whole crew, as far as the services and what that building means to getting guys prepared and ready to play a football season. They didn't have access to that stuff this year. They didn't have access to the daily wisdom so guys can maybe catch something early when they're working out, like, oh, I'm having some hamstring tightness. Oh, okay, well, let's put this protocol together to get your hips right, or, you know, to maybe loosen up your quads, whatever it may be for that specific individual to help them overcome it. So I think it speaks more to that than anything else, just a wealth of knowledge and expertise that the Bills have invested in from a people perspective as well as a facility.
Didn't the Bills win the award last year for that too? Like the
They won like the trainer's award, which rightfully so. They do an excellent job up there as far as all the services and what they bring the guys.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, like you said, it's a temporary situation that we're in with injuries. They're not long term. I think our guys are going to get back healthy, and we're going to hopefully. I agree, man. I think this is a year that we can really make a run and make some noise if we have a healthy team. Like, I don't see many defenses stopping our offense if Josh is who we see him to be this year. Right. And then once, like you said, once the defense gets healthy, same thing. I don't expect him to be a top two defense like immediately or anything, but dude, we got dogs on that defense.
Yeah.
That,
and you don't have to be a top two defense to win. No. I mean, you got to win situations. You know, people look at yards. That's not really the telltale sign. It's about, you know, third down conversions, red zone percentage, turnovers. If you can win in those three areas, and let's say you still give up 400 yards some way, somehow, which you normally won't because you're winning in those areas, then you're going to win a lot of games. So if you're making Pat Mahomes kick, you know, every time he gets down to the end zone and they get down there four times in the red zone, you make him kick field goals three out of the four times, you have an opportunity to win that game. Yeah. Because now your offense can outscore them. And so those are the things that you have to focus on and see whether or not our defense is progressing. You know, look at the third down percentages. You know, are they putting teams in third and long? Are they making teams kick field goals in the red zone? And then the type of turnovers that they're getting. If our defense starts really excelling in those three areas, they'll be fine. It's something that they can do because, like you said, they have the guys on that roster and they'll be getting guys back here soon too, which will help out immensely.
All right. Well, lastly, man, I caution Bills fans a lot this week that although we're facing the 0-6 Jets this week, those guys are professionals, and it's the NFL. Yeah. And I know they're like, because, you know, John Brown appears to, like, he's out, and, you know, a couple of other injuries. And it's like, oh, yeah, just sit, yeah, guys. Like, it's fine. Just
like
sit
seven
them.
Seven or so guys, right.
It's like, look, okay, I understand. Like, we feel, yeah, like the Jets are our six. It's right, the NFL. Yeah. What are you looking forward to this weekend as seeing a response from the team as far, yeah, as, you know, because we're, you know, the last 2 weeks we're 0-2. This has, to me, this has every, it looks like a trap game. It, right, just looks like,
yeah,
it.
I definitely agree with you on that. This is what I say. I say, guys, when you're in the league, you don't have the, what is the privilege of wasting opportunity. And so you, unless you're injured. And for me, there's always a line between being hurt and injured. And I'm more of an old school cut player. You know, I came up in the late 80s, early 90s, before we've had this cultural shift in our society, or and especially football, when it comes to like load management and, mm-hmm, you know, the right thing. So I've learned how to play probably injured in some cases, but hurt, borderline injured. And that's just my mentality. And maybe because I was undrafted, maybe because I've been cut, like I wasn't going to miss out on an opportunity to go out there and perform and help my team. And plus, your team needs your best players at all times, because losing to the Jets is an AFC game, could potentially mess up your seeding. So, mm-hmm, let's say the team goes on a rail and they end up 13-3, but lose to the Jets. Another team is 13-3. And because the AFC loss, and they may have an NFC loss, they get the number one seed. So you cannot take, mm-hmm, these games for granted for what they mean in the bigger picture either. So with that said, you still need to go out and treat the Jets who the Jets have shown themselves to be in 0-16. And when you have that mentality, you're going out there, hey, this, I'm going out here to prove a point, not like, I'm going out here to dominate, mm-hmm, and, you know, from start to finish. And that's what I expect to see. Hopefully the coaches, you know, because offense and defense, I really can't think of anybody that is just straight dominant. So it's not like you have to game plan for anybody specifically. And that's mainly because they're, why they're 0-6, because they've lost a lot of their talent. Mm-hmm. So just have simple game plans, go out there, execute. That's the number one thing. Playing physical, playing smart football, and playing downhill, and just beat this team up and dominate them. And when I say that, I don't mean you're going to beat them by 3 touchdowns. You can dominate a team and it still be 24-10.
Yeah.
You know, that's a dominant game. And so that's what I want to see. This is to control the game from start to finish. There's never no panic or, oh, we got to this last drive to score to win, or we have to make this last drive to stop. This game should be in hand, you know, and understood that it's won in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And what you're doing is closing out, you know, right? You're in 4-minute drill, closing this game out, running the ball down their throats, and making them stop you to get off the field. And that's what I expect. That's what this team is capable of doing with the talent they have. And that's the mindset they need to have, so you can start regaining some of that swag back. Because, yeah, when you have losses, you start feeling bad. It ain't the same, you know. But when you win, and you know, you up here swagging out, balling, doing things better than what you thought, and you need to do that as your season progresses, and build on that, especially with, you know, knowing who you're playing next week. And that's more of a coach's mindset. Players, right, have to focus on this game, but knowing that the teams you're going to start to play, you have to start having that swag too, because that adds to your performance and what you're going to do just naturally by doing your job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time out this morning and talking to me. Do you have anything going on outside of your, like, I know you're going to do your coaching, right, thing this morning, but I mean, yeah, do you have anything, yeah, that, yeah, you want people to know about? I know your charity, again, does great work. Right. Anything you want to, yeah, plug here?
So the biggest thing, you know, we got the ACES Foundation, Lorenzo Alexander.org, if you want to continue to stay involved and up to date. Obviously, COVID has put a big damper on the stuff that we've been able to do. What I hopefully want to do in the near future is bring a couple of kids out to Phoenix from Buffalo, you know, the South Park community that I work with, and as well as some other high school kids, and train them and do like a week-long mentoring program, training, show them Phoenix, get them out of Buffalo, just show them something different. I think that's always important for our young people. And then on top of that, been working with a community, with an organization called Black Lives at Cal, trying to hold our institutions, and really starting at Cal, because that's where I graduated from. Mm-hmm. For our student athletes overall, but particularly our Black student athletes, making sure that they don't, they're not just commodities, right? But we are also in developing and growing productive human beings that are going to be great in society. And so it's all student athletes, particularly our Black student athletes, because they don't graduate the same rate, they don't get the same jobs at the same rate when they leave. And they are a huge percentage of obviously our Black percentage of our student athletes in the money making sports that are serving normally the entire university. So I'm making sure that we're taking care of the people that are taking care of us from a institution standpoint. And then lastly, hey, just get out and vote. Just want to encourage everybody. Obviously, we're, I think, a little under 2 weeks now as far as voting. Me and my mom last night were sitting going through our judges, you know, looking up and seeing who's had good reviews. And, you know, so do that for your Congress, your Senate, your mayor, do all those things. So you're not just circling a dot next to Republican because that individual is a Republican or a Democrat, but actually know who you're standing with and how they feel and the people you are. So then you can hold their feet to the fire as we progress through the next until the next election cycle, you know, next, you know, 2 years or so, and then obviously 4 years for presidential. So please do that. Obviously allow your voice to be heard and then continue that process by your activism in the community and supporting the people around you, which I know Buffalo does great. Anyway, so yeah, so that's what I got. That's what I'm doing. And that's kind of what I'm, you know, all about right now, especially with the voting or the election right in front of us.
Okay. And well, if there's any way I can get involved with the anything that you're doing with the children out here, because, you know, like I said, I'm in Phoenix too. So anything I can do to help out.
Where you at in Phoenix? Where you at? Where you at?
I'm north. I'm in like Anthem, Dove Valley. I'm like 40 minutes north of the city. But yeah, for real, anything y'all got going on, I'm more than willing and able to help out. And then, man, I love your relationship with your moms too. Yesterday, y'all, or maybe it was 2 days ago, y'all posted a video of working out. That's so awesome.
No, it's been good. You know, I haven't really been around my mom since getting into the league, you know, 15 years, and never really been in California outside of 1 year. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that she lives in Arizona now. We moved her from Oakland to Arizona. And so she'll be at the games, all the games, soccer games and football games today, hanging out. Yeah. And it's so cool because I was the only child, and those are the things that you sometimes take for granted, but realize as you become a parent and you get older, how cool it is to have your parents around. Especially, I've had some grandparents pass recently, so just having your parents around so that your kids can experience their wisdom and who they are and figure out why you are the way you are. Yeah. Oh, that's why Daddy does that, because Grandma or Nana does that, you know? So it's cool to see.
Well, hey man, keep doing what you, because I'm telling you, you're an inspiration for real. And even with you not being in a league right now, because I got a feeling that I'm gonna keep begging you to come back like everybody else will. But you keep doing what you're doing, man. You're an inspiration. I love watching the relationship that you two have. And hey, go Bills. Take care, man.
Yeah, go Bills. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.